God, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, first of all, we want to thank you for your presence that is already here. We can feel it tangibly in our midst. Thanking you for the covering of our fathers and all their prayers on our behalf. And so, Father, I come to beseech you. I humble myself afresh before you. We are asked for fresh mercy. I pray that you cause your mercy abound towards me, your grace, Lord Jesus, to flow, and your power and your help, Lord Holy Spirit. That you anoint me afresh, Lord God, and put the same anointing upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of my fellow brethren, your people that will hear this message tonight, all that will be hearing it. Help me, Lord, to speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Thank you, Lord, because I will do so by your mercy and grace under the covering of our fathers whose prayers have gone ahead. And please, Lord, put the same anointing upon my heart and lips, upon the ears and hearts of all those who hear me, both those who are present here physically now, and those who hear me remotely by electronic means, whether now or even after this. The Lord, that your word will flow freely from you, through me, to all your people, to do an internal, eternal work in our hearts and lives, and so cause us, our wills to be more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge of your word, and cause our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I further pray, Lord, that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words wherever they are released in all the earth. A power that will heal, will deliver, break yokes, and free men to become doers of the words which they hear and not hearers only. I pray that, Lord, you will help me to be concise, to speak with precision, to redeem the time, not to say anything that are necessary, only things that, Lord God, will bring out the treasure of your word, that will bring out the treasure words with things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. There will be a transformation and a manifestation in our lives individually and collectively of your will, your purpose, and yes, even your glory. Thank you for doing exceeding abundantly of all I have asked, all we can imagine. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people say, I didn't hear that amen. Aha, that's better. Praise the Lord. Well, I come today once again thanking God for this great privilege. And it is a privilege indeed to stand at this hallowed pulpit. This pulpit is the amazing things that have been said over the years and continue to be said over these years, it can only be God. Only God can do that sort of thing. And we see by the grace and mercy of God that throughout the years, as you have listened to our fathers, you have preached at this pulpit and have brought the word and have brought prophecies, and we can see the results in our lives. And that's what makes it, you know, effective ministry. A ministry that changes lives, a ministry that causes people to see the kingdom and to press in, to desire to press in. It's not everywhere you get a word like that. So, well, thank you. Somebody's clapping. I believe that deserves an applause, not so much to them, but to God for choosing to allow us to be gracious enough to hear the words that we hear, and more importantly, to see those words lived out in our fathers' lives as we begin to see a transformation, not only in their lives, but in all the things they speak about. The transformation in Nigeria, for example. Something is happening in Nigeria. We give God all the glory. Amen? And we want to say thank you. So I thank you, Father. My father's Pastor Libby, Mommy. Thank you so much, Father, Pastor. Thank you so much, Mommy. Thank you for your prayers. I trust that the word today will be pleasing to you in the name of Jesus. I bring a word today, a word of exhortation, which I believe the Lord quickened to my spirit as we were praying the all-night service. I got the news that I'll be preaching this evening, yesterday. So during the all-night, as I was able to, the Lord was helping me. And I believe as it was going to the close of the all-night, the Lord put this word in my heart. In fact, all he said was just one word. I said, one word. He said, acquaint now. I said, acquaint now. I've heard that before somewhere. Anyway, cut a long story short, I looked at the book of Jonah. So that's it. Okay, so that's it. So then God began to open it up to me. So I bring this word of exhortation. Some of us are doing many of these things to some degree, and most of what we'll be hearing today, by the grace and mercy of God, which is still a word for this season. We are doing something. We can all do more, and most importantly, do it better. Amen? More and better. Amen. I didn't hear that amen. Are we all together tonight? Amen. All right, let's hear voices. Thank you. So we can do more and better. So I believe it's still a word for this season, even though much of it has been preached over and over the years, but I believe the Lord will have us mention this because I heard that word distinctly, and it's not a word that I would normally hear on my own. It says, acquaint now thyself. Okay. So we begin the book of Job. The book of Job, the Lord opened it to me in a new way as I read and studied it during this. We have been reading it from it daily in the past couple of weeks or week or so, and I want to thank God for this book. It's a very, very deep book, even though it's in the Old Testament. There's a lot of it's chock full of revelation. I mean, it's a story of Job and his friends when he got into that debacle and the devil took everything he had. He didn't know it was God that was trying to save his life. He thought God had departed. Sometimes it's like that, you know. Lord, where are you? I can't hear you. I can't see you. I can't feel you. But he's always there. He never leaves. Never. Never. Not even in a tighter spot. So let's begin. We'll start the book of Job in chapter 22 and begin to read from verse 21. These were the words that got my attention this morning. Say, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the Lord from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. That's the whole point. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty. Notice that the delight in the Almighty must come before the silver and the gold. And delight the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face to God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And thy light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thy hands. That's just what happened. Let's go back to the beginning. Look at this. He says, Job, acquaint now. Now, that now represents an urgency. Go back to the verse 21. Thank you. He says, acquaint now thyself with it. It means it's not something that you can delay. It's not something that you can wait and do, and you know, do it by and by. He says, now, acquaint thyself now with him. And that acquainting with God, with him there being the Lord himself, will bring peace and good to you. That's a wonderful admonition, amen? And the Bible says there's no one good except God. So what that means is that good is the presence of God in your life. When you acquaint yourself with him, you'll be at peace and his presence will be in your life. Amen? Very simple. Now that word now, as I said, implies a certain urgency to the need to acquaint ourselves with God. And this is the conditionality for the peace of God in our hearts. May the God give us all peace in Jesus' name. And not allow the devil to bring pieces. Very gentle. So the heart, where is it? It's within the heart. Why is that so? It is the peace that God gives from knowing him that keeps our hearts and mind without fear. Nothing else can do that. I mean, in the world, the Bible says you have tribulation. I said, be of good cheer, I will come. So his the word and his the knowledge of him is what keeps us from being, but the world doesn't have that. So every small change in circumstances, everything that happens brings fear, brings trepidation. Oh, What's going on here? But we don't have that problem. By the grace and mercy of God. There should not, a Christian should not, if there is a problem of fear, then there's something, you know, you should go back and check it out. Fear should be alien to the Christian. Amen? Christians should be bold in the Lord. Amen? Not in yourself, but in the Lord. But the essence is this. The peace that God gives from knowing him keeps our hearts and minds. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Give me the Amplified. Philippians chapter 4, Amplified Classic, verses 6 and 7, I believe. Amen? Look at it. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. This is not a suggestion, no. It's a command. It said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything. How do you do that? By prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Next verse. And, this is a continuation, God's peace, I love this, shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God. You have nothing to fear from God. God is on your side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Peace. Amen? Tranquility. So fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison. I love that word. That means that it's like a whole bunch of soldiers, soldiers of peace, soldiers of light. And those soldiers exist. They're the angels of God, you know. They gird you around and say, they mount God over your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace of God mounts God. It guards you from any anxiety whatsoever. No matter what the tribulation, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, your heart is at rest. Peace. Peace. Folks, this is what God wants for us. The peace of God shall garrison everyone's heart and minds by the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Now, let's go back to Job 22 and 21. And it says, acquaint now thyself with, and be at peace, thereby good. I love this part. In other words, says, acquaint now thyself with him, him there being the Lord, and be at peace, and so good shall come unto thee. That's a very wonderful statement. You know, because what it means is that if you don't have peace in your heart, there's a certain aspect in that lack of peace that indicates a lack of trust in God. Am I right or am I wrong? If you can't see your rest, your peace, that means you just, there's a doubt somewhere in the back of your mind, unsaid, untold, and it's not you, it's really the devil that's messing around with your peace. Because he knows that peace puts you above him and in front of him. So he tries to, you know, hello? Garden of Eden, hath God said? Doubt. And so, you know, begin to think, oh, maybe not. Maybe God can't do it. Maybe our hope is futile. No! Said, and the problem is this. Acquaint thyself now with him. In other words, if you truly know the Bible, so they that know their God shall be what? Strong. And then they do exploits. So your walking in peace is an indication of the strength of God working in you. That's why it's so important. That's why it says it garrisons, it guards your heart. It acts like a rejection of any contrary thought, any contrary circumstances. Whatever happens, peace is still. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. I always remember that story about the Lord Jesus and his disciples when they were crossing that boat on the Sea of Galilee. And the devil whipped up a storm. And they were bailing water out of the well. And the master, can you imagine? The master was fast asleep. Sleeping the sleep of a blessed. But the guys were so agitated. They said, what's wrong with this guy? Doesn't he know what he said? Master, master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, I said, cheer. Cheer. He prayed. He expected them to rebuke the storm, and the storm would have stopped. But they didn't understand that because they didn't have peace. That peace was roiling their heart. The Lord give us all perfect peace in Jesus' name. Amen. And not a peace that is easily jolted by circumstances. God forbid. So it says, that's a peace. Look, it said, the peace of God shall keep garrison, guard your minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go back to Job now. That's the first verse. Then the second verse is said, and good shall come. And that says, receive. All right, so let me finish though. At peace, thereby good shall come unto you. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. Hello. Receive, lay up his mouth in thy heart. The speaker, this is the speaker's name is Eliphaz. What's his name now? Eliphaz. Yes, one of his Job's special friends. Wonderful special friends. May God give us friends not like that. Anyway. So I said, Job 22, it says, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. That reminds of God making a distinction between Moses, his servant, and all the others, including Miriam and Aaron, his siblings. He says, receive, I pray, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thy heart. Huh? That means that it's not from everybody that you receive words that you lay in your heart. Because it's not everybody that has the same. I use Moses and Aaron and Miriam as an example. Not everybody has the words of God. Hello? The words that everybody, you know, it's not everybody who speaks God's word that will bring you peace, that will bring you something you can lay in your heart. Sometimes even important to flush those words out of your heart instantly. I remember the case of the Garden of Eden. When the devil was talking, she didn't know she just said it was a serpent. You know, it's so interesting. She didn't have any trepidation whatsoever when the serpent spoke. Which, you know, God is a great God. The earth was so much in harmony that a human being made in the image and likeness of God, even though she was made from Adam's side. Well, heard a serpent. Now, I don't know about you, but if you hear a serpent talking today, what will you think? One, hey, I want you, you know? But everything was at peace. Everything was calm. There was nothing, no agitation. But I'd like to get back there. And a serpent spoke, and it was a normal thing. So that means if it wasn't only a serpent that could speak, there'd be other animals there, we just don't know. They could speak. It was a united, completely harmonized existence. We're going back there, folks. But this is a receive. What is it? It says, receive, I pray, the law from his mouth and lay up his words within thy heart. And I said to my, I spoke about Aaron and his siblings. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12. I want to make a distinction here. Numbers chapter 12, 6 and 7. It says, receive the word at his mouth, from his mouth. Look what happens. So look at Numbers 12, 6 and 7. Give me the, this is the Amplified, verse 6. Yes. This is the Lord speaking. After, what's her name? Miriam had challenged Moses. And the Lord now came down and said, stand here. Moses, you stand here. Miriam, stand here. I said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. This is where our brethren get that word, you know, about visions and dreams. Well, visions and dreams still exist, but the most important is to hear the voice of God for yourself. Anyway, said, but not so with my servant Moses. He's entrusted and faithful, I want to bring this out, in all my house. Next verse. With him. Distinction. May God make us a distinction. With him I speak mouth to mouth directly, clearly, and not in dark speeches, and he beholds the form of the Lord. How many people have seen the form of the Lord in this place? Glory to God. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And it's not only Moses. It flows down from Moses all throughout the ages, all throughout his concerning all the people. every person that God has ordained to stand in his place on the earth, that has ordained to speak on his behalf to the sons of men, that was ordained to bring the word, to prophesy, and to declare the counsel of God amongst men. This applies to everyone. Says, I speak directly. He's not shivering and shaking. And I sit down, he sits down, I speak to him. How do you remember Kenneth Hagin? That's him. We need to be careful, though. Why then were you not afraid to speak? And what happened? We all know what happened to Miriam. She had to go outside the camp. I think it was 1 week or something like that. Spent outside the camp. But what I'm saying is that we must receive the word of the Lord from his mouth. And that word will come forth through his prophets that he has appointed and who has given the word for whatever season we are in. And then we must. He says, I speak to you mouth to mouth. Clearly, not in doubt. He beholds the form of the Lord. Why then are we not afraid? We need to be careful. We need to be careful. God will give us an answer of peace. Amen. Now, the Lord desires as a people with whom he has to speak to us face to face, because he wants us to become like him. And he wants us to become like our fathers. Particularly, that's why he's shaping them and making them what he wants to before our very eyes. And what does a child do, young child do, hello? Okay. What does a young child do when he sees his father? He wants to be like him. He tries to do everything he does. He tries to copy. He tries to imitate. He tries to please the father by being like him. That's what God wants us to be. He says, and lay up his words in our heart. Verse 23. Say, if. So hang on a second. God wants to lay his words in our hearts? Why would God want to lay up his words in our hearts? Two scriptures came to me as I was preparing this word. Give me Psalms 119, verse 9. 119. Amen. Thank you. Somebody's speaking already. The prophets are speaking. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Next verse. With my whole... No, there's something. No, there's a... I'm looking... Sorry? Yes, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against it. Verse... Is that verse 9? 119? Where is that? Can you find that verse for me? Where it says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. And we have the wrong... 8. Okay. All right. Let's read from verse... Is it verse 8? 11. Okay. Give me verse 11. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a tremendous statement right there. In other words, the only antidote to sin or sins, one is the actuality, one is the consequence of the actuality, sin and then sins. It's because you have sin that you sin. Amen? So he said, I hide your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Amen? So we need to take heed to this word that we're reading, this everyday word that we're reading. That's the word that when we learn it, we hide it in our heart, we make a priority for the word of God in our hearts. That's what keeps you. Because that word, when you're going astray, it will lead you. It will just rise up in your heart and say, don't do that. That's not what to do now. Lay up his words in our hearts so that when you hide that word in your heart, you will not sin against God. I also put here, let me see where, what's the next verse? Give me verse 12. Verse 12. Okay, all right, let's leave it alone. I must have written something else. Okay, so that's it. So that's it. Receive, I pray thee, the Lord from his mouth and lay up his words in our heart. Now, verse 20 says, it's a conditionality. If thou return to the Almighty, which means he has left. It's very possible. And it happens a lot. When you think you're in line and you've already left God. And you don't know. You think you're there. You think everything's good, everything's hunky-dory, you're doing fine. But God says you've left. And he sends messengers to you and says, This is the way. Walk in it. You have two choices. One, disregard it because you think you're okay. Or humble yourself. You know, well, let me finish. Humble yourself and take the word of the person that says, this thing is wrong. Now, the person may even be wrong. But you know what God is looking for? The humility. The willingness to submit and to consider somebody who he has, quote unquote, sent to tell you that this is the way walking in it. And so many times, sometimes it might not even be somebody who you imagine will be able to say that to you. Or somebody who should never say that to you. Maybe like a little aburo. Or somebody that, quote unquote, you should not be sober. Sometimes you may not regard as such. And God uses that person just to test your heart. Hello? Hello? Remember a little child saved an entire king. The guy was home. He said, ah, if my master, there's one guy in our home. If he just goes there, they will recover this leprous. I had a choice. God was speaking to him through a child who was a slave. And that child's words held the key to his healing and restoration. That guy, he was a king, almost a king. He was one of the king's big, big men. So you can tell it's a humble heart. The humble heart will always, always, always fall in line with the word of the Lord. That's what we're talking about today. Now back to Job. So he said, if thou return to the Almighty, in other words, that person had already left and he didn't know. It says if, which is a choice. It means you can or you may not. But you see, you've left the Almighty. If you return to him, you shall be built up. You shall put away iniquity from thy tabernacle. Hello? The word here that I brought to my says, if thou return to my, thou shalt be built up. The word here is wonder. Walking aimlessly. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 21:16. Proverbs 21:16. I'm not going to open in my book. My book is a bit small. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16. Amplify, please. 21, verse 16. Give me the amplifier. Give me the amplifier. Thank you. The man who wanders out of the way of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the spirits of the dead. Walking aimlessly or go astray in a leisurely fashion, says you will remain, God forbid, in a congregation of the dead. That dead doesn't mean you're going to die physically. We're talking about spiritually dead. Amen? Aimlessly or without instruction. You're one, you just go from as you please. You've got to be under covering, folks. You have to be under authority. The kingdom of God works with authority. We need to recognize and keep that in our minds. It says here, return to the Almighty so that you can be built up and you shall turn away, put away iniquity from thy tabernacle. That iniquity is rampant in the body of Christ today. We'll get there today in a little while. But this is it. So God is in the business of bringing us to this point, to return to him, to be built up, and to put away iniquity. That means perfection, folks. Amen? A great number of Christians today are like the church at Sardis. I said, thou hast a name. Revelation chapter 3. Said, thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. That's a great indictment of a church or a people. Now, it doesn't mean everybody in the church is dead, but it means that technically speaking, the fellowship mirrors the headship. So if the fellowship is dead, it's flowing down from what's above. Thank God for this church, by the grace of God. Our pastors, our mothers and fathers, they are solid. That's why we all, by the grace of God, are doing, by the grace of God, so well in our different homes and our different places of employment and all that we do. Because we have a standard. We have a standard to look at. And the standard is rock solid, totally committed, without any qualms or any excuses for anybody. And that's what we need to be too. Follow after. Amen. Everybody looking at me funny today. Am I saying something that's not true? Follow after. Hello? It's the pillar that you look at and you're supposed to be transformed into. Remember that the seven pillars and then the cattle were transformed. But the truth of the matter is, folks, if anybody wants to be like God, he has to do more than have a name that he lives. Many churches don't have that name that lives. Like Pastor Lee was sharing with me the other day when I asked him. And I had forgotten the appellations or the epithet that Pastor gave us when he came. Yeah, about the church. You know, the prophet of God says that most churches are entertainment-based instead of being word-based, man-centered, instead of being Christ-centered, needs-oriented. There's a lot of that going on, but kingdom-oriented. But there's still time to change. We have time to change. God is always ready to help us to change. Amen? So, return to the Lord Almighty, and in so doing, obtain pleasure and the favor of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that some, all should come to repentance and a knowledge of the truth. Amen? Amen? We want to thank God for God's long-suffering that brings us to total salvation, spirit, soul, and body. So it says, if thou return to the Almighty, verse 23, thou shalt build, thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacle. Says then, back to Job chapter 23, yes. And it says, then thou shalt return to the Almighty, which means he or she was there before, but like many, she wandered away like lost sheep or the prodigal son. Amen. This is not your portion. When he says return, if thou return, thou shalt be built up, put away iniquity. So it's very important to return to the Almighty, particularly in this day we are sitting in. Amen. We're standing in. This is the day when everybody must make up their mind that they're only going ahead with a true God. Folks, you know when the Lord appears? And he's coming, not too long. I don't know how many years the pastor said, maybe 20, 25, I don't know. But whatever I know is this. God is going to come. He's going to show up. And the great thing about it really is that he's already showing up in our individual lives, in our leadership. He's showing up in different aspects, and we have to. We are being gauged or being assessed, that's the word, assessed on our response to all those different times that God has shown himself to us. Hello? God is with us every day. There's some things that God shows you or he tells you. He may not say it to another person, but he's told you. And that makes us responsible. What God tells you, you're responsible for it. And the reason is very simple. He doesn't want you to perish, but you should come to repentance. And that's why God is so long-suffering. I go for a long-suffering God. Long-suffering so that he will give you time. He'll give you a long rope to pull, like they say. But the truth of the matter is, folks, time is running out. And we'll get that to you in a little while. God will help us. So, this man was there, but he was like a lost sheep or the prodigal son because he had left the Almighty. But he said, if you do this, and put iniquity far from thy tabernacles. If you return to God and put iniquity far from thy, in other words, get the sin nature out. That's it. Thank God for this house. Give the fathers a clap offering. Making the removal of sin, I'm not sure I know anywhere else where it is so graphically preached and so graphically exercised. We see it happen. I don't know about you, but I know by the grace and mercy of God, the amount of sin I have today in my mind, will, and emotions, in my physical body is much less than I had, let's say, 5 years ago. that one is very true. And so it should be. Advancing, you're removing that sin nature all the time. That's what's causing the problem. Amen? So this is not your portion, because we, by the grace of God, you return to the Lord. And the Bible says you're going to be built up. Built up. Jude chapter 20. You put away iniquity far from your tabernacle. And then you build yourself up. How are you going to build yourself up? Yeah. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude chapter 20. Let's look at that. Jude chapter 20. Give it to me, KJV. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, that eternal life there, yes, includes living forever, but it's practically more important talking about Zoe. Eternal life there is more like about Zoe, the person of the life of God that is inside God, that makes God, God. Amen? You're asking, you're looking for God to give you more of eternal life by his mercy. Amen? And by his mercy, rejoice against judgment. So by giving you that eternal life in great and greater and greater measure, building you up, he's removing you from judgment. He's removing you and bringing you to a state of eternal life in your tabernacle, building you up on your most holy faith as you pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? This is our portion, folks. The more time we spend praying in the Spirit, particularly all types of prayer, petitions, supplications, we know this, we know it. That's what is called building us up into a holy edifice. So we'll arise and dominate and flush out the sin nature in our bodies. Amen? That's our portion, folks. That is what we are here and what we're about to be and what we're doing. And what happens is that you remove that iniquity from your tabernacle and say, then, this is where people want to go. But I won't get there next. The consequence of this, I wrote here 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. Very familiar verse. Give me that, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 12. Yes. Now, this is how we do it. I exhort, therefore, read it back, in order to put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks, these are the different degrees of prayer. Petition, supplication, you know, travail, groaning, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. Amen? Be made for all men. Next verse. Next verse. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is the will of God. Amen? Give me Ephesians chapter 4, 12. Ephesians 4, 12, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. And this is how we do it. Or this is the consequence and how we do it. And this is because we want to do what? For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Familiar verse, next verse. Till, now this is the key here, we all come in the unity of the faith and the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Those two must precede a perfect man. The unity of the faith, the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, then and only then we get a perfect man. A man then going to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Next verse. That we henceforth be no more children. God loves children, believe me. But he doesn't want children to remain children. He wants them to grow up into him in all things, like the head. And so bring in more children. More children. Grow up into him in all things. Bringing more children. It's a process, and it's a continuing process that will continue until Jesus Christ comes and beyond. To answer no one should toss or carried by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they wait in wait to receive. Next verse. But, speaking the truth in love, may, and I pass the Lord to say, may, who happens to him in all things. The consequence of all this will be many-sided, manifold. This is where we're going, folks. This is the appointed date that God has set for us. To grow up into Christ for all things which is ahead, which is in Christ. Which is why we're talking about these things. And then we say, acquaint thyself now with him and be at peace and good. This is the good that's going to come to thee. To grow up to Christ in all things. Amen. Amen. So the consequences of growing up to Christ in all things, it's amazing that the very first thing he mentions is prosperity. When you dominate sin. He says, after you dominate sin, put away iniquity from your tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir, as the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Thou shalt have plenty of silver. You see, it's a process. Most people want to jump to verse 24 and verse 25 without going to verses 23. Acquaint thyself now. Receive, I pray thee, the law at his mouth. Return to the Almighty. You want to jump all that and jump into gold and stones of the brooks. And the Almighty shall be thy defense. And I shall have plenty of silver. It's not like that. It's not like that. Great prosperity is birth and a result. Thank you. The result of, first of all, getting to know God, acquainting yourself with him, being at peace, receiving the law, the word, from his mouth or through the mouth of his prophets. Lay up those words in your heart so that, you know, it says, I hid thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Return to the Almighty, turn around, and then you'll be built up. Then you shall put away iniquity. That's what's hindering the gold and the gold of Ophir. It's interesting. I went to actually find out what that meant, that gold of Ophir. It says, Ophir means, this is what it says in the Google. I googled Ophir. What does it mean? Ophir was a place where they went to get gold in those days. A place that was renowned. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. Was renowned for excellent gold. And people used to go there, collect the gold, or buy it. However, I don't know. I'm not sure what they did. But they got the gold and brought it back. A lot of the building of the Temple of Solomon was done with gold from Ophir. That's why when the Romans attacked it, the gold melted. This is history. It's really actually true. The gold so melted, that temple that they built, it so melted that it got into the cracks of the building blocks. You know, there'll be little cracks of the building blocks in that temple. You know what the Romans did? They pulled down all those blocks. They took the whole thing apart so they could access the gold and scoop the gold. Prophecy, the Lord Jesus Christ came to total, it was totally fulfilled. They raised that temple to the ground. They wouldn't have done it otherwise if it wasn't. I mean, it takes a lot of effort to move those mighty stones. They were made in a quarry and brought in. But there was gold in between the stones, melted down by the fire of destroying that temple. They said, I'm going to leave this gold here? No way. Let's do something. So they started pulling down the stones one by one. Jesus said, not one stone shall be left upon another. Fulfilled to the letter. Mercy, Lord. So Ophir means the final state of the fulfillment of an elementary principle. In other words, when you follow the principles of the fathers, you will get to a final state of fulfillment. And then, what do you call it? In a type, the gold of Ophir becomes yours. You get to prosperity, great wealth. Amen? You put a liquid over your table, you get prosper, and then the Almighty will be your defense, and I shall have plenty of silver. Folks, when you follow the principles of the fathers, acquainting yourself with God, receiving the law from his mouth, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, laying up his words in your heart, read on the word, meditate the word, act out the word, amen? It's not good enough just to read and meditate, you need to act it out, amen? So you live by that word. And I'm not speaking just to you, I'm speaking to myself too, you know? When you there's a thing in our lives that when we think we know the word, we know it now. But it's not just hearing and knowing. That word should go from your mind, your will, and emotions, and take the same route into your physical body, and then into your legs, and then you begin to walk it out. It's only when you work it out that you make it yours. But if you're still having mental games, you're still playing, I know that. And knowing is not the same thing as possessing. Hello? Knowing is not the same as possessing. The only one can possess is do. When you do, you work it out, then you have it. You possess it because you now, it's no more a thought, it's no more words, it's now an experiential thing. You've made it yours. You worked it and walked it out. The Lord will give us understanding. Receive the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. And then number three, you return to him with all your heart and put away iniquity from your tabernacle. Amen? Sinless perfection. as you build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost with all prayer, you will experience this sinless perfection and the great prosperity in gold that comes with it. Amen. And then the Bible says, verse 25, yea, the Almighty shall be your defense. You shall have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty and shall lift up thy face unto God. In other words, when you've done all this, you've acquainted yourself with him. Acquaintance is not the same thing as knowing. You also acquaint me, you know on the surface. My acquaintance is not your friend yet, but you are acquainting yourself with him and his ways. Then he brings your peace. And then he says, receive the law from his mouth. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets free from the law of sin and death. Receive that law from his mouth. It's not his mouth. It's through the mouth of his prophets and the fathers that preach that word to you. That's why. So you need to receive it and begin to work it out. Lay those words up in your heart. And he says, you have a choice. You can lay it up in your heart and not return to the Almighty. Or you cannot lay it up at all. But say, if you lay it up in your heart, if you now return to the Almighty, God will build you up. And he will put away iniquity far from you. That's where you're going, folks. Iniquity far from your tabernacles. And then, when the iniquity is all gone, or let me put it this way, as iniquity leaves, then the prosperity comes. The gold, the silver. Amen? And it will be God that will do it. And he, that says, you have plenty of silver and God himself shall be your defense. What does that really mean? It means that God will stand up for you when the devil comes and says, like he did to Job, has thou considered my servant? Well, that was actually God that said that. But you're going to say, it's because you're protecting him. Said, let me show you one thing or two. God says he's in your hands, but don't touch his body. Don't touch him. Take everything he has. I just got a word. How did God know that Job would not sin when everything was taken from him? It means that Job had a very good, strong relationship with the Lord. And it means also that his confidence, now, we know he said a lot of things that maybe he should, but you know what the Bible says? In all this, Job did not sin with his mouth. So he kept his integrity because his wealth was not what he was after. His relationship with God said that the God has given, God has taken away, glory be to God. How many people can say that? God forbid, it will not happen to you in Jesus' name. I had an amen. Okay. But think about it. Everything, your children, your cattle, all that, quote unquote, makes you you. One day or 2 days, gone. And then you're sitting in a pool of whatever with balls all over your body. Says, in all this, Job did not sin. It's amazing. But the truth of the matter is, all God would do was trying to get his attention so that Job would no more see him after the hearing of the ear. He will now have a revelation. Say, now my eyes see you. I now see you as you really are. I now see you. And then said, God turned his captivity and he gave him the fourfold job of twice of what he had before. That was where God was going all the time. And if the devil had been able to catch him before God brought it to Satan, they would have finished him. Because he had a wide open door he knew nothing about. So how many times... Thank you, Lord. How many times has any of us been in a trouble and we're wondering, Lord, what's going on? Lord, what's happening now? Why am I like, why is this my lot now? I'm here, I'm serving you, I'm doing the best I can. I may not be perfect, like Job wasn't perfect, but I'm doing the best I can, and I'm staying in touch, I go to church, I do blah, blah, blah. Yeah. God says, okay, that's good. But do you really see me? That's the problem with Job. That's the problem with many of people in the church. Do you really know God for who you? Do you have a revelation? He says, I've heard you after hearing of the ear. In other words, I've heard lots of sermons about you. I've heard a lot of things. Lord, I've even read the Bible. I read my Bible from Genesis all the way through. I read it all. I know you. But God says, no, you don't know me. You don't know me. You only hear me after hearing of the ear. You don't see me. And until that happens, God forbid, it will not be your portion. The devil has an open access. Because when he comes in, and he knows that that person is not seeing God, he does not know God, free course. But God saw Job, and God will do it for anybody that he deserves. And God doesn't want anybody to perish. God says, no one should perish, but all should come to knowledge of the truth. So folks, I just said that, but just in case somebody somewhere is experiencing a little bit of difficulty, maybe some headwinds in your life, just hang on to God. Hang on to him. He didn't do it, but he's definitely going to be able to bring you through. Amen? You will come through. You will delight yourself in the Almighty, and the Lord shall lift up your face up to the Lord, and you will respond. There's a song that was buzzing in my mind that originally says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and earth. Amen? So you make your prayer to God, and the Lord will hear you. And you pay your vows. Now look at this, verse 28. I love this. And then, verse 10 says, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Very important. In other words, when you promise, you do. What you have promised or said to God, if you do this for me, I will do that. When God, and God is a God of promise, is a promise keeper. When God keeps his promise, never forget to keep yours. Don't back off. No matter what it costs you, when you speak, you can't take back the words, or you should not. You can, but you should not take back the words of your mouth, particularly when it concerns God. Amen? All right, so it says, and where was that? Yes. You delight yourself, and God shall lift your face up. Sorry. 27, yes. Shall make thy prayer to him, and shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Now, thou shalt, this is where I really want to focus on. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him. He shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also, in other words, in addition to God hearing your prayer as you pay your vows, he will also cause you to have power to decree a thing in the earth, and it shall be established unto thee. Not only that, God's light shall shine upon thy ways. That light is not yours, but it's a light of revelation knowledge. In other words, you will not walk in darkness. You will always be walking in the light. Remember where we began? Acquaint thyself now and be at peace, thereby good. We start off with good. God is always good, amen? Receive the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in thine heart. Study scripture. Make sure that you're full of scripture, full of the word. And that says, if you return to the Almighty, you shall be built up. You shall put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. God will help you to do it. Thou shalt lay up gold as dust, and gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. And ye, the Almighty, shall be thy defense. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. Then thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy voice, thy face unto God. Finally, thou shalt. Now this is where most Christians want to do. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light, oh, I love that, shall shine upon thy ways. Revelation of it. This happened to Job. He says, hitherto I've heard you after the hearing of the ear. Says, but now my eyes. What happened? The light came on. Revelation of who God is, what is going on. He said, and therefore, what did he say? I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I have spoken words that are too big for me. Folks, we need to learn who God is really. He wants us to get to a point where we and him, think in tandem all the time. So it's not God is saying one thing and we are thinking another thing. We hear God all the time. Saying face to face. Make thy prayer. He shall hear thee. And then you shall pray of us. Everything you say you must do. Because he's heard your prayer and he's already answered it. So you do what you said. God, if you do this, I'll do it. Thank you for this. I'll pray of us. Constant fellowship. hope you're getting something out of this. And then finally, the power to decree. You know, that word decree is very strong. A decree doesn't have, there's no if or what or but. Decree is decree. When you say decree, when we used to in the military time, the military regime, when the decree is done, and if there's anything hindering it, the power of the state goes out to enforce it. So when you decree a thing, it shall be established unto thee. And then, the light, the revelation, Shekinah light of God, will shine upon all thy ways. God is good, though. God is good. None of your words will fall to the ground. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. Also, the light of revelation and wisdom shall shine upon your way. Amen. Now, I want to say this. This dropped my heart as I was reading this and preparing. So the revelation knowledge of God was available then in the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints had revelation knowledge too. Amen? Though it was on from the outside. But there was revelation. Amen? And it says that when men are being cast down, God will lift you up. May God lift us all up. May we put ourselves in a position where God, who's always looking to lift us up, has the legal, because it's a legal thing, legal avenue, thank you, Pastor. Legal avenue to lift us up when we're down. God is a good God, but he works according to principles, divine principles, and he will not break them for anybody. But he will find a way, and he'll lift you up, and he'll raise you up because you humble yourself. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. So, let's finish up. Let's begin to round up. Help me, Lord. Why is this important? This roadmap is a roadmap of the Old Testament version of how to attain to the perfection of Christ. This is Old Testament, but it's got all the details of how we, in this day, in this dispensation we're in now, come to the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We get to know God, acquaint ourselves with him, get born again. Amen? Be at peace. Good shall come. Then receive the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets free from the law of sin and death. And lay up that word so much in your heart that you return to him fully. And God will build you up on your most holy faith and so put away iniquity. Perfection. Iniquity. Far from you. Far from thy tabernacle. You dominate sin. You cast it out. You rule over the sin nature out of your flesh. Amen? Then, when God... we'll get there. When God sees that iniquity has been removed, then he can open up his treasure storehouse to you. He knows you're not going to mess it up. The divine nature is gone. I'm sorry. The satanic nature is gone. Replaced with divine. And so you're going to see that money not as something to... of course, you use part of it. There's no doubt about that. Well, it's not your money. It is kept in your care. It's not. You can't just do whatever you want. Those funds are for the preaching of the gospel and the harvest of the end time. Now, you're going to get a goodly portion to spend as you wish, but there must also be that thing in the back of your mind. It's not mine. It's not mine. But we see with the sin nature there, the sin nature will egg you. That's what folks... Allah, I help her. That means God will help us all. When we get that thing out, then God will say, ha, I can trust this guy. I can give him $100 billion. He won't change it. He's still going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray. He will still join Good Morning Jesus and pray the two phases. Amen? And he's not going to sleep. And he's not going to be working the phones while he's doing that. You know, these are some things that, you know, that's just like little foxes. And of course, none of us here ever sleeps off. I don't think anybody does. But I do sometimes. I'm not being honest. But it's getting better. And I'm getting more and more results. I'm seeing more and more. Folks, let's do this thing properly. Let's just put all we have into it. Just dump yourself into this thing. Make room for Jesus. Praying with all of our hearts. Removing that sin nature. Amen? There's a mighty, mighty, mighty reward to be had. Amen? Then the Almighty shall be your defense. Then you have plenty of silver. Then God will lay up for you gold as you know what that means? That means your gold will be like it'll be so much that It'll be like putting dust on the floor. Folks, well, I love this part. And thou then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty and shall lift up thy face unto God. That's where he's going. All the other stuff is a side attraction. This is where he's going. Relationship, fellowship. See me. Make me your top priority. God will give us grace. And it's then after that, God can trust you with his power, the fullness of the power. You say a thing, it comes. Because you know you're not going to speak foolishly. You're not going to use it in anger. All those things have been tempered. It'll be just like the Lord Jesus. He will call them all fools. Then he will heal them or feed them. Slow to understand the thing the brothers have stolen. How long shall I bear with you? And he didn't touch. What's his name? Judas. He knew Judas was stealing. He didn't say a word. Man, I sometimes just bow because I say, Lord, one day you want to make me like that. I say, please, Lord, hurry up. Help my infirmities. Pastor, hurry up. Help my infirmities, please. To be like that. To know. You see, that tells me that he's not worried about the money. He's more worried about saving the soul of he. The day the guy knew he was going to be betrayed by that person, he didn't even let anybody. The only person he gave was John. Nobody else knew. They thought he was going to make a donation. They knew he was going to collect a donation. What am I saying? Folks, that's where we're going to. That's what God wants us to be. Humble ourselves. So, the roadmap, why is this important? The roadmap is an Old Testament version of how to attain the perfection in Christ Jesus. And I believe that it was penned down for the admonition of the Old Testament saints who, as a witness, as a roadmap to the fullness that is available in Christ, even in the Old Testament. There are people that did serious wonders. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Amen? Some of them obtained this level of relationship with God. And when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you see the whole pantheon there. Now, some of them may look like, near misses. But a lot of them were way out there. Way out there. And God said, concerning those guys in Hebrews, they are still alive. Said, they without us shall be made perfect. In other words, God sees throughout all the ages, all the Old Testament saints, all their accomplishments, all they have done is reserve them so that when we now come, they with us together will be made perfect. And we will be as one. There will be no schism. There will be no Old Testament or New Testament. We will all be one. All throughout all the ages. It's a marvelous thing to think about. Can you imagine you'll be talking with Joseph? Joseph, that was a king. Well, I don't know if you'll be talking, but Joseph is going to sit in a very high place. Maybe you have a place next to him. But, you know, you might bump into him in heaven one day, or maybe on the galaxy on an assignment or something, you know. I marvel at what God is about to do, or is starting to do. Because when this whole ship is over, I think I was talking with somebody. I said, Baba, who was I talking to? Somebody else. He said, what's going to happen? How is God going to recreate the earth? What's going to happen? I said, sir, he's going to take everybody off this planet. Everybody. Where we are going, I don't know. How are we going to get there? I don't know, but he says he's going to take time. Then he's going to do a total renovation. Make it like it was in the beginning. And then guess what? He's going to bring us back here. And he himself will now sit in Jerusalem as God. So God will come from heaven and live on earth and dwell among the sons of men. Give the Lord a clap offering. Wonderful plan. That is awesome. Awesomeness number one. Amen. All this is just ahead of us, folks. So God is raising up now a company of Christians that will exemplify all these character traits revealed in Job chapter 22. Acquaint now thyself with him, the Bible says, and be at peace. No striving with others. Find your rest in God. The Bible says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't get into any argument. Just stay cool. Amen? And the Lord gave me an example of Solomon. So when he was building the temple, this is prophetic, it's a prophetic adage, so to speak. When he was building the temple, he didn't build the temple and hew blocks where the site was. He built, got the blocks from a far away site from where the temple was being built. So at the site, they would bring out the block, they would shape it, they would shape it, they would shape it. All the noise, all the wahala takes place there. So that when it comes, when it comes to the site of the temple, that block will fit in perfectly. No noise, no instruments, nothing of man. Just fits in without any fuss. That's exactly what God is doing now. Preparing those stones, those living, lively stones. Preparing them, cutting them, you know, shaving this off, shaving that off, perfecting them, making them pure in holiness. When the temple is going to be built, each one will have a place, and that place will fit seamlessly. There'll be no pushing or shoving, because that is your specific place. You are not going to be in competition with your guy next to you. God has got you where he wants you to be, and where you qualify to be. Those are the two things. Where he wants you to be, and God looks at your qualifications. Can he stand the heat of, like Pastor preached the other day, some people remain on earth because they don't have glorified bodies. And some people will have glorified bodies, but they can't travel beyond a certain speed. So there's some planets you can't go to. There's some galaxies you'll not be able to explore. But there'll be somebody like God. That will be 100% like the Father, like the Son, like the Holy Spirit. And they will go anywhere and everywhere. Emissaries of God to the entire galaxy. To billions and billions of planets. I don't know about you. That's what I want. That's what I want. No, that's what I'm working towards. Amen? Shaped to fit their places in the temple without any noise. No cutting, no hammer, no tools. And I wrote here, this end time temple will also be made of living stones. Men and women, cut, shapen, and perfected to take their place in the temple being built as we now speak. Amen? The question is this. Will you or I be a part of that temple? May God give us grace to be. So let's quickly finish. Now how do we do all this and attain to and do all this? Well, the word that first came to me when I was saying this is in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 20. Let's look at it. Three particular scriptures. Proverbs 4, 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. You know, words are not the same as sayings. Words give information. Sayings give instruction. Words give information. Then it says, incline thy ear unto the mind. In other words, there's a higher level than just words. My sayings. My wisdom. My, you know what? When God speaks, it comes to pass. What I say to make things come to pass the way I want them to. Incline thy ear unto my next verse. Let them not depart from thine eye. Keep them, this is how we're going to do it. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Folks, God will help us. God will help us. God is determined to do this. That's just, God will help, give us grace to cooperate with him. Let not depart. In other words, this is something you keep before your frontal eyes, focused on the word. Keep in the midst of, in other words, you're repeating them, you're saying them. When you read the Bible, when you're walking, by the way, when you sit down, when you get up, four times, at least four times a day, but many, many more. Amen? Keep them in the midst of our heart. Lord will have mercy upon us. Next verse. For they, what is that? His words are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Anything else? Okay. Folks, that's how we're going to do it. This is verse 27. I wrote to verse 20 to 27. Any verse after this? After this. Okay. Give me Luke chapter 12, 29. Luke 12 and 29. Okay, this is how we're going to put it away from Go back to Luke, please. And seek now. Okay, let's leave this, by the way. Let's go to Luke chapter 12 and 29. And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. This is the problem most of us. Many Christians seek what they shall eat, their belly, what they shall drink, something to refresh them. And they have a lot of doubtful mind. Because if they didn't, then what they will seek more is eat the word of God and drink the wine of revelation knowledge. But they're eating ordinary bread and drinking ordinary water or whatever their quote-unquote poison is, maybe wine or whatever it is. But it says, neither be of doubtful mind. In other words, don't doubt anything God says. Next verse. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And I love this part. And your Father knoweth. God says, I know you have need. I know you need all these things. I know, but there's a system, there's a way, and there's a purpose. And your Father knoweth you have need of these things. Next verse. But rather, hallelujah. This was one of the first phrases I heard when I came to school, Pastor. Said, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and all, everybody say all, these things. You see, you have to compare kingdom with things and then prioritize kingdom. It's the kingdom, it's attaining the kingdom that brings the things. The things do not get you into the kingdom. Hello? You can't buy your way in. Everything's filthy rags on its side. But if you have the kingdom, all that you need and beyond, all these things shall be added unto you dutifully by the God who never lies and never makes a promise he cannot keep. This is one of the things that convinced me when I was very young in the Lord. I said, so all you have to do is say, I'll see the kingdom now. If I know what that meant then. But, you know? But that this is what I saw. Pastor preached it that day. Seek the kingdom of God. I said, hey. So that's the key. So once you are seeing the kingdom, God will add everything unto you. And it's been true for me. At that time, it was only me. But now I have a wife and 4 wonderful children and lots of other things besides. Kingdom. It works, It works. It is a degree and the fervency and the fervor and diligence you put into seeking the kingdom that will determine the volume and the completeness and the quantity of all that God is going to be able to add unto you. Because you need the grace of kingdom, authority, and power to manage wealth. Thank you, Pastor. Strong men only retain riches. May the Lord give us understanding. Right, let's see. I will show Matthew 6:3. Let's see Matthew 6:3. We're talking about how to retain this. Matthew 6:3. Hello? Matthew 6, verse 33. Sorry. 6:33. I think 6:33. Is that 6:33? Uh-huh. So for after all this, I didn't want to read all that stuff. For after all this, in the Gentiles here, heaven for I knoweth. Again, he's telling us, I know. I know you need these things. I will add them to you. This is not a policy. No. In Christianity, prosperity is not a process. It's not a process of acquisition. It's a process of addition. They who go out to acquire always fall short. Because see, God cannot allow you. If it's God doing, God will only feed you with what you can take. When you go out by yourself, God forbid, you will not do that in Jesus. When a person goes out by themselves, they will take hand and take something that they can't handle. Or it's going to choke them. Or, worse still, will take them away from God. That's why God said, you just wait. You just keep. I know you need all these things. I'm not hiding it from you. But I know you have need of all these things. Next verse. But! Hello? But seek ye first, priority, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, Father, thank you, all these things shall be added unto you. This is a promise that I'm living by the grace of God. I will continue to live it. There's no other way, folks. If you have it, the kingdom, God will see to you that you're good. He will work it out. He will see to it. He cannot. He's not a man to lie. He's not the son of man that repented. What he has said he will do, he will surely do. So instead of running after things, seek the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Prioritize seeking the kingdom and seeking the kingdom of God for him and not for his hand. Amen? Character of divine love, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit over our souls, over our bodies, and over our circumstances. I have there was something that came to me and said, how we do this? I have this thing I asked him to print out from. A pastor said it many years ago. I think it was, I can't remember the year, but he wrote many things ago about asking and seeking and knocking. He says, the Lord teaches us to do three things when we pray. He says, ask, seek, and knock. To ask is to make a petition using understanding in the natural language you speak. Amen? And the Bible says in Mark 11:24, give that to me, Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. Hello? Yeah. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So the process of acquisition is prayer and believing. Amen? Whatever you desire when you pray, believe. Lord God, work it out. Amen? Make it. And then, having to renounce, what you say now, seek. What does seeking say? Seek means to pray in the spirit with all kinds of prayer. And in particular, travail. Travail means you groan and you release the power of God, great force and great volume from your bodies. Travailing, to release the power to bring all, to overcome, first of all, satanic opposition, and to fill the air, first of all, your mind, your will, your emotions, your circumstances, and physical body, that is hindering the answers. Usually it's all the sin in the mind, will, and emotions that hinder the level and degree of answer to prayer. Amen? And it's as you grow, gradually you get that thing out. God can give you more and more, knowing fully well that because you're improving in that area, in that sector, the area of removing the sin issue from your soul, body, and circumstances, that God can add more to you. It's not going to sway you anymore. There's some Rubicons you will have passed by that time. And the more Rubicons or tests, so to speak, that you pass, the more God can add to you. And gradually, over a period of time, God begins to add to you. And that's why, folks, I just say, that's why it's not good to measure yourself by yourself. Different people are in different levels of growth and development. So for you to look at ABC and say, ha, what is happening? What is happening to you is not what's happening to him. You don't know what he's been through. You don't know how much of what the sin that the devil sowed in his mind with emotions he's been able to remove by prayer. And it's very unwise. And it may lead to trouble. And a lot of Christians make that big mistake. Don't measure yourself by yourself. Measure yourself by the word of God, your obedience, and ultimately by the process that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. That's the way. So we seek to pray, including travail, overcome the satanic opposition and the flesh, soul, mind, emotions, and physical body that is hindering the answers. Amen? And then you receive the wisdom and the grace and the power to birth the answer into physical manifestation. Amen? So that's seeking. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Bible says, likewise, Romans 8:23, the Spirit helped our infirmities, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's a marvelous statement. The Spirit intercedes for us through us. That's why travail is so important. And the devil has closed the minds of a very vast portion of the church to that issue of travail. Why are you making noise? What's the problem? Alone or little enough? We didn't say God was difficult. We said the devil is difficult. And travail is not targeted at God. It's targeted at the devil. And if you don't do it, the devil don't shift. Amen? And then to knock. I love this one. To knock is to walk in love by the Spirit, by washing feet. When I read this, I said, Lord, have mercy. So in other words, Shadakaba. You walk in love by washing feet at least once every 6 hours, to cover for every hour, and then frequently acknowledge the Lord for mercy. Amen? So, this is how we do it, folks. This is how we make all these things. Said, acquaint thyself. Oops, I think I've changed. Yeah, said, acquaint thyself now. Be at peace. Thereby good shall come. Receive, I pray thee, the Lord from his mouth. Lay up his words in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thee. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Lord, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer, and the Lord will hear thee. Amen. So let's ask the Lord. Ask him as you pray. Make a petition. Use your understanding. Amen. And then seek. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. And then knock by walking in the love of God. And I know that doing this will cause a release of the law of the power of God into our lives to bring his will to pass. Amen. Though make a way. Make a way for you to be more consistently acquainted with him, and eventually to be found in his likeness. May the Lord give us understanding as we ask, seek, and knock. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's speak to the Lord and ask for his help. I said many things today, but the sum total of it is this. All this was in Old Testament. All this is in Old Testament. This is Old Testament. And the transition between that Old Testament and this is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring the New Testament. This is the Old Testament equivalent. The New Testament is the equivalent. It's praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But the same character, the same things that we ought to do or should be doing in the New Testament runs through all these scriptures. That's why I say, when the Lord Spirit says, just want to acquaint now thyself. I say, what do you mean, Lord? Acquaint now. So I like to look and I say, wow. In the Old Testament. I want to thank God for his mercy upon everyone in this house through our fathers. This is what we live for. This is what they preach. This is what they live. And this is what we live. Becoming more. That word more is, yeah, you can do something, but you can do more and do it better. That's why I said, becoming more acquainted with God. The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name.